Mike Malevsky here, and I'm pleased to be able to welcome none other than Sean Holland, who has almost returned, but not quite, from a long time in a place well known to some people in Palmer, and that is, of course, Soroma, Japan. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you for having me.
So, you've been back and forth, but maybe just for listeners who are not familiar with your story, how did you get to go to Soroma and be there for what is, I understand, a record-breaking length of time?
Well, I did end up setting the record, although no one's really keeping track. Well, I'm a 2002 graduate of Palmer High School, and after graduating, I went to college, ended up finishing up my college years at UAF, and right out of college, I got accepted into the JET program, which is the Japan Exchange and Teaching Program, and that sent me to Niigata Prefecture in Japan, where I worked for a year as an ALT, which is an assistant language teacher. And during my time there, I found out about the similar job that was also open in Soroma. And some of my contacts, teacher friend in Palmer, recommended me, and they accepted me. And I intended to stay for about 3 years. They asked, it's a one-year contract, but they always ask that someone stay for 2 years because the process of the transition is a lot of work, and if they had to do that every year, it'd be prohibitive. So I stayed there for 3 years, and then there was some people who were going to replace me, and for various reasons they weren't able to come, and I kind of decided, well, I could just stay, and I ended up getting married, and finally I just had to say, enough is enough. I've been here for a long time. I've done a good job, I think, but I really felt it was time to turn it over to somebody different. Somebody, because being there for 6 years, I got to teach a whole generation, not generation, a whole elementary school generation, 6 years of kids. So they've really only known me as their foreigner,
right,
Western English speaker. So it's good to have some variety.
So that's so nice. Now, that's a quick and a nice summary of the past. What about what's coming up next? You're married, so now you're thinking
right
too.
What's coming up next for me personally?
Yes.
Well, I've returned, but I've returned in spirit, I suppose, but physically I'm going to be here for only a short period of time. I'm gonna visit my some family in Nebraska, and then I'll eventually head back to my as you said, my wife is she's Japanese, and she's still living there, still working. She's an English teacher in Soroma Junior High School. And the school years there start in April and end in March. So even if she were able to, you know, get up and leave her job, she would first have to complete the school year. But her medium-term goal right now is to go to graduate school here at the University of Alaska, which I guess there's probably not any residents of Hokkaido listening to this broadcast, but I always like to point out to people that the University of Alaska, in the region's policy, it clearly states that residents of certain sister cities in foreign countries, including some in Russia and elsewhere, can attend the University of Alaska for in-state tuition without any special procedures whatsoever. So she is hoping to take advantage of that. So if anyone at UAF is listening, please accept her application.
Okay. Well, switching now from the personal to the more public situation here, there will be someone. In fact, someone has already left, has replaced you back there in Soroma.
Yes, she arrived just 2 days before I left Soroma, Japan. And actually, she's someone, she was my classmate at UAF, so I knew her back in Japanese class up there, mm-hmm. So it was a very comfortable transition, knowing her, and knowing that she has a lot of experience as a substitute teacher here in the school district, in Matsu School District. And her name is Brenna Kenneker. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to be a great assistant language teacher for Surama.
Now, what I have followed over the years are stories from a variety of people who have had similar experiences to you, and some people have written books. Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting stories. I'm guessing you're being asked to speak about your experience. Do you have any plans to do a more in-depth review of what you discovered either about yourself or about Japan or as you come back here, Palmer, Alaska?
I guess I've thought about it. As far as discovering things about myself, when I was in college, I took a semester off and I traveled around the world for 4.5-5 months. And I think my intent then was to discover something about myself. But what I discovered is that I'm basically the same person no matter what country I'm in. So I discovered that before living in Japan. I think if there is one thing that I'd like to synthesize and put into writing, it's my experiences being working as an assistant language teacher, and how you fulfill a role in which there are some cultural expectations which don't always align, and especially it's a job which typically fresh college graduates get, and they're sent to places in Japan which they have never heard of, and they're put in schools with teachers who don't speak English that well and who don't really know how to make good use of a young foreign college graduate who is not trained in teaching methods.
Right.
So I think that I learned a lot over my seven years teaching as an assistant, because you are an assistant technically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have some advice that I could offer people just in terms of how to approach the job,
right,
and how to, I don't want to say make people like you, but you know, that's actually part of your job, is to establish good relationships with the people you work with every day. And you actually you probably work with more people than you would in any other position, even in your own country, because you're visiting many schools and you're dealing with kids, and everyone in town recognizes you. So, even if you don't recognize them, they all know what you had for dinner last night based on your shopping habits. You know, there's the grapevine. So, if I were to write anything, in terms of what I think could be useful for others, it would be that, because I think there's a lot of ALTs out there who are kind of just treading water.
Uh-huh.
They're not in a situation where they have a lot of support. They don't have Japanese skills.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the ironies about the JET program, is you don't have to have Japanese skills, and they actually try to avoid hiring people who are trained as teachers. The idea of the program when it started in the 80s was not to like replace the Japanese education system with foreign teachers and foreign methods. It was to bring in these people who would have an experience in Japan and then go back to their home countries with this positive image of Japan and be able to act as these sort of ambassadors in the public life of their own country to explain and connect to Japan, you know, years and years down the road.
That's fascinating. Would you say that given the length of time you've been involved, you've noticed an evolution in that particular idea, or is it pretty much still that focus?
I think we're going to see a conflict between that policy decision, because that's still the policy, between that and the fact that now that English is being introduced as an actual subject in elementary school, you're going to need trained teachers. And right now there are not many Japanese teachers who are trained in how to teach a language,
right,
a foreign language to elementary school students. And the chance that there's a better chance that the foreign teachers from, you know, the UK or New Zealand or Canada or the US, they're going to have a better idea of how to teach English and, you know, foreign games and things like that. So I think there could be a disconnect between what the educational policy is and what's supposed to be happening and the kind of people they're bringing into the system. Recently, the government decided to, I think, triple the number of people they were hiring, bringing into Japan, from 2,000 or 3,000 a year to 7,000 or 8,000
a year. Whoa, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
Big change. So this program that you've been involved with is one element of a whole variety of ways in which we have had a connection between the Met Valley, particularly Palmer, and Japan, and particularly Saroma. And you've been supportive of a couple of those other things that are ongoing, and that includes things such as the Sister City program and exchanges that involve schools and also other individuals. Tell us a little bit about how that's working.
I think it's kind of experiencing a renewal. I mean, it's fine, but I know that when I came on as assistant language teacher, it was there were things were a little bit less focused. At that time, we had Saroma, on the Saroma side, their schools had undergone a restructuring from 10 elementary schools to 3, and from 3 junior high schools to 1, just because of low student populations. Mm-hmm. So we went from having a junior high school sister city connection of 3 junior high schools here with 3 junior high schools there to suddenly 3 on our side and 1 in Japan, and that became, I think, a little bit...
a logistical issue.
Yeah, because our students in Japan didn't really understand why there... it ended up being 2, Colony and Palmer, but they didn't really understand why the students who came this year were not the students who were at the school they visited the year before. They didn't quite understand why they were going to the same city in Palmer, but there were 2 schools. It didn't quite... so I think that diluted some of the connections that were being made.
Okay.
But right now, I think, especially after the 30th anniversary group came from Palmer to Saroma, with, for example, the establishment of the Palmer Saroma Kai, I think there's been more community-based support. The noodle shoot, for example, is a good example of introducing a fun activity in kind of a natural way. You know, it should become a Palmer tradition, just like the Saroma.
And each year during Colony Days, it has been for the last few years, since that time when those people went and experienced it.
Right.
There in Saroma.
And that's exactly what should be happening, you know, picking up the cultural traditions and, you know, making them your own somewhat. You always have to make some modifications.
Oh, sure.
Those kinds of things, you know, if those things continue, I think we'll see, it also seems like the awareness has increased.
Yeah.
Sherrod Elementary School, there are some teachers there who have been really helpful the last few years, and I have done some Skype lessons with a fifth grade teacher there with the fifth grade at Saroma Elementary. We did that for 4 years, I think.
Wow.
And so that's the kind of thing that could really only happen with a broader awareness that people in the community have. So,
and coming up is the 35th anniversary of this Palmer Saroma relationship, and the delegation is coming this way, and they'll be arriving this summer.
Right.
And there's been a lot of preparation. Palmer Saroma Kai is a supporting organization, has been working on it, as the city of Palmer. Want to say a little bit about that from your perspective?
Right. So this year marks the 35th anniversary of the Sister City program, and traditionally the multiples of 5 have been celebrated with events and alternating hosting between Palmer and Saroma every other 5 years. So for the 30th, Saroma hosted a big event and hosted about 20, it was about 20, wasn't it?
Yes.
20 community members from Palmer and the mayor and some city council members. And so Saroma will send a almost a mirror delegation to Palmer. I think they'll be here around July 10th or 11th.
Right, roughly.
For a little less than 10 days.
Yeah, about 6 or 7 days actually in place here.
Yeah. And so the mayor will be coming, the superintendent, the principals of the high school and junior high schools, several members of the Board of Education, several members of the town council, a few members of the community, including some who have been hosting and supporting the sister city for decades now. So they're going to come here. I'm not sure. I haven't seen an itinerary yet, but
I have seen it, and it's a pretty jam-packed schedule of connection one way or the other. It's going to be, I think it's going to be,
I know it's going to be
awesome.
A fun experience. Yeah. It's just, I'm hoping that I'm able to be here for it. And if I am, it'll be a new experience for me to have so many people who I have worked with and been around for the last 6 years suddenly kind of on my home turf.
Oh.
That's what I'm really looking forward to be able to introduce some things to them where I can point to the something and say, this is what, you know, whatever, where instead of explaining it to them and having to, you know, really kind of, there's you know, a lot of barriers of explanation when you don't have a frame of reference in front of you.
Sure, absolutely.
So,
well, Mike Malefsky here with Sean Holland, who has just completed a 7-year experience in Japan, variously, and is still involved and has a future of at this point an interesting open set of possibilities. I'm guessing that the connection with Japan will form some basis for what you're going to be doing.
Is that a question?
That was an observation. You can treat it as you will. If you want to speak more about it,
no, I think that's fair. I've really enjoyed teaching. I just think that I'm not sure if teaching, for example, being a Japanese teacher here at the high school or another level would be is what I would want to do. I'd have to get my teaching license first.
Right.
But something, yeah, my life will be connected. First off, my wife is Japanese and her family lives in Japan. And I I've loved living in Japan, and I, I've been back for less than a week, and you know, there are things that I miss, but I've also been back and forth enough that I can anticipate those things that I'm going to miss. So I'm hoping that I don't go through too bad of a reverse culture shock back here. Maybe as I'm here a little bit longer.
Sure.
Because there are all those really obvious cultural things that you notice right away. Then there's the ones that
creep up on you,
and you don't notice, but they really affect you. So, I'd like to be able to switch back and forth. It would be
interesting.
Neat.
Yeah.
But, you know, living in, like, Hokkaido, I should say Stroma is in Hokkaido, which is the northern island. They have probably gotten, how could you count it, 100 times more snow than Palmer has this winter.
Whoa.
They're having a snowstorm now.
Stop.
I talked to my wife last night, and the sports clubs were canceled at the schools. Kids were sent home early because of the snow. So it's really, if you're an Alaskan and you wanted to choose a place in Japan to live, Hokkaido is really a good fit.
Okay.
So I love living in Hokkaido. I've loved growing up in Palmer, but I'm not quite sure where we will end up settling down. There are a lot of different factors, very very different ways of building a life between the two places in terms of, you know, and that's all it's affected by land prices and tax policy and social systems. I mean, there's a lot to consider, and it's not so much just, oh, I love Alaska, I'm going to live here, or, oh, I really like Japan, so I'm going to live here. There's lots of factors, you know, if you're really going to make a good decision. So.
Well, it sounds like you're approaching this in a kind of balanced way, open to
kind
possibility.
Of. Yeah, yeah. It's I'm in no rush.
Good. Well, thank you, Sean Holland, for coming in.
Thank you.
And we'll be talking to you later on, perhaps as the delegation arrives and you've come back and you're about, because we're going to be certainly looking forward to interviewing them as well.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to
assist with that.
Yeah, give you more information about how to interact with a group of 20-some Japanese guests.
Okay. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Take care now.
Thanks again.
Bye.